Hallelujah. So, I want to share something about principles of spiritual leadership. So first, I'm going to talk about the principles. I'm going to talk about the premise for spiritual leadership. Then I'm going to define what spiritual leadership is. And then we're going to discuss why it's important for all of us as believers to be schooled in the principles of spiritual leadership. Hallelujah. Now, remember that in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 28, right? No, we know it, we call it the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, let me read it. Matthew chapter 28, from verses 15. Or let me go down to 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus said, and Jesus came and spoke unto them and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. The Great Commission is the mandate to change the world. We see this also in Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, from verse 15, Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And if they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So the Great Commission basically is about spiritual change. Because Jesus is saying that go into all the world and for every sinner, convert him to become a saint. For every unbeliever, the person who does not know God, make him become a believer so he can know me. But then Romans makes a very powerful argument. Romans chapter 10. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 says, from verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So look at the logic. Jesus is saying that go and preach and teach my gospel. But Apostle Paul in Romans is saying that the people who have to go have to be sent. But before they are sent, they have to be prepared. Right? You can't send a soldier to battle without preparation. You can't send a soldier to battle without the requisite armor. You can't send a soldier to battle without knowledge of the enemy they are going to conquer. So the Great Commission is basically about spiritual change. But spiritual change also means you need agents of the change. Are you with me so far? So you and I are going to become the agents of the change. Which means we have to be prepared. We have to be equipped. We have to be empowered with the knowledge to go and change the world. And so the principles of spiritual leadership means that you and I have to be, you have to be changed. And part of the changing means that we have to be equipped with the knowledge, with the understanding as to how to bring change people's lives. Hallelujah. So whether you call it discipleship or evangelism or missionary work, it's all about taking an individual and taking him to a process of making him the agent that God wants to be. So it's a transformation process. And so the principles of spiritual leadership are basically the laws or the precepts or the strategies that are in the Bible for us to learn and basically equip ourselves so that we can become the agents of change. Now, what is a principle? A principle is basically a law. Now remember, a principle is not a fact. Facts can change, but principles do not change. According to the dictionary, a principle is like a precept. It is inherent in creation. It is built into the laws of creation sometimes. Now remember, most of us, when we went to school, you know, a lot of textbooks have the title, maybe Principles of Economics, right? Or Principles of Biology, right? Or Principles of Psychology. So principles means the laws, or the precepts, the ideas that are emerged in a particular body of knowledge. So when we talk about the principles of spiritual leadership, we are talking about spiritual laws, spiritual principles, spiritual precepts, spiritual opinions. They are not facts. Facts can change, but principles do not change. And the most powerful thing about principles is they can work for everyone. And they can work everywhere regardless. Let me give you the example. Gravitation is a principle, right? Which means if you jump, what happens? You come down. Does it work for everyone? It will work for everyone. Does it work everywhere? It will work everywhere. Right? It will work in Siberia. It will work in Tannersville. Right? The principle of addition. Right? If I learn the principle of addition and somebody in Afghanistan learns the principle of addition, him and I can understand each other. Because we use the same principle. That is why principles are so powerful that when we learn them, we can succeed. Because everybody has to respect a principle. Principles do not discriminate on whether you are rich or whether you are this or that. Principle, everybody has to abide by a particular principle. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12, which is, I think, the last verse in Hebrews chapter 5, and then verses 6. But let me go to Hebrews chapter 5 first. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer was writing to the Jewish people. He said, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." This is the only time in the Bible that the word principles is used. Let me read it again. He said, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." So, let me paraphrase it here. Paul is telling the Jewish people, you were the first people to receive the revelation of God. And you had hundreds of years to learn the principles of God. But at the time that you needed to become teachers, you were still students and learning. Right? And then he goes on to say, you have need that one teach you again. So Paul is telling the Hebrews, you didn't use the principles that you were taught, the spiritual truths that God through Moses revealed to the nation. And for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years past, you were still groping in the dark. They didn't learn about the laws of God, and so they were still groping in the dark. They still didn't understand it. So Paul is saying, go to Hebrews 6 verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." Perfection here means maturity. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." So Paul is saying that the Hebrews needed to be taught again. They sat in the classroom of God, and they had access to the principles. But because they didn't learn the principles, they needed to be taught again. So I can relate to that as a teacher. You know, sometimes people are held over. You know, in school, sometimes people are held over. Why are they held over? They didn't pass the test. They failed miserably. And they failed not because they may not have been smart, but they didn't learn. So why is it important for us to learn about principles? It is important for us to learn about spiritual principles, leadership principles, because if you are going to change the world, like the mandate in the Great Commission in Matthew and in Mark, if you are going to change the world, you and I need to understand the principles of change. So we can disciple people, we can change people, and we can translate them from darkness into light, the scripture says. So, we're going to start learning about some of these principles. So, principles of spiritual leadership. Let me first define what I believe leadership is. Leadership is basically the capacity to influence somebody. If you can change people or you can influence people to do what normally they wouldn't do, you are a leader. But let me say that every Christian is a spiritual leader. Why do I say that? Because Jesus gave us the mandate to go and change the world. Supposedly, you and I know something that others do not know. So he says, go, and with your knowledge, you transform them and get them changed. But beyond the mandate, the Apostle Paul also writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, from verses 17 to 21, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is King James. All things are passed away. All things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given us the ministry of reconciliation. Right? So God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, reconciliation means it's like conflict resolution. Right? When two people are in disagreement, reconciliation brings them together so they are united in agreement. So the Bible is saying that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we should go out to people who are in disagreement with God, who are more or less antagonistic to God's purposes and plans, and get them to change. Ephesians says that there's enmity between God and man. And Jesus died to make sure that this enmity that existed before his death will be dissolved. So that God now has an open door policy to all men. So you and I should go and tell people that God is ready to be in agreement with you and reconcile the unbeliever or the sinner to God through the ministry of Jesus Christ, through the death of Jesus Christ. So we have a ministry of reconciliation. But then he goes on to say, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So the ministry of reconciliation also produces the word of reconciliation, which is the basis or the agenda for bringing people together. This is the gospel. And then he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who is an ambassador? We are. But an ambassador is a person who is in charge of an embassy. Am I right? An embassy is a territory of a government in the country of another government. If you go to Washington, D.C., there are all these embassies, countries that have their offices in the U.S. Just like U.S. also has embassies all over the world. And the embassy is headed by an ambassador. So the ambassador represents a government. This has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with political and spiritual power. So Paul is saying that you and I are ambassadors. It means we represent a government. You see, if you read Isaiah said that, talking about Jesus, that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Remember that scripture? So we represent God's government here on earth. Remember, God lives in heaven, right? But he has delegated responsibility to us on earth. And so if you are ambassadors on earth, that means that we are head of his embassy. And we can go and tell the people who do not know him that we are ambassadors. So, ambassador is a spiritual leader representing the kingdom of God in the territory of another government. Now, let me say a couple of things before we go on to the principles. Because we have already defined spiritual leadership as the capacity to bring change or influence people spiritually. Right? So I define it simply as influence by the Spirit of God, of the Spirit of God, and with the Spirit of God. Or let me put it this way. the capacity to influence others through inspiration. Now remember, the word inspiration means in spirit. It's transliterated, right? And it's also based on conviction. So leadership has nothing to do with positions. And we can prove that from the scripture. Remember the story, the story when Mrs. Zebedee went to Jesus, right? And said, Jesus, if you come into your kingdom, I want my two sons, James and John, right? One to sit on your right and one to sit on your left. And Jesus said, you have no idea what you're asking. Can you drink the cup? And then if you read the account, they say, yes, we can. They didn't know what you're asking. You know what? You have to be careful what you pray for. Guess what happened? James was the first apostle to be killed. According to the, he was cut open with a sword. John, his brother, was the last to be killed. Tradition says he was put in a pot of boiling water. No, not water. Boiling oil. And he didn't die. And so they, in the end, they put him as a refugee in a land of Patmos. That's when where he wrote Revelation. So what am I saying? Leadership is not about positions. But let me go on. The first biblical principle here is that God created everyone to be a leader. We see this in Genesis chapter 1, right? The Bible says, and God made us in his own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God created man to have dominion. The word dominion means to have a mastery or to have some level of control or oversight or leadership. So that is what we were created to be. Now, sometimes it's difficult to understand that you are a leader because sometimes society doesn't even respect you as a leader. Right? Think about it. The entire generation of millions of people who were enslaved was the idea that you are a servant and somebody is a leader. And think about a lot of the African countries that were also colonized. Right? If we are colonized, it tells you that though somebody is better than you, and you can be a leader. So it's difficult for us to think that God created us to be leaders. But remember, Jesus is called the last Adam in the Bible. The first Adam is the one God, Adam, in Genesis chapter 1. And God created him before the fall of man, before sin, to be a dominator. He said, have dominion, not over your friends and your wives, but over the cattle and the fowls of the everything that I created, have dominion over. Again, don't dominate your wife. Everybody who looks like you, you can't dominate. But everybody else, the animals, the birds of the air, the creeping things, everything, dominate. Have mastery over. Have managerial authority over everything that I created. So you and I originally were created to be leaders. Because we are the only creation of God who reflect God's personality and his divine attributes. That is why Jesus could tell them that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because you and I look like Jesus.
So you are born a leader. But let me say that even though you are born a leader, you must become a leader. That is the law of process. Let me repeat. Even though you are born a leader, you have the spiritual genetic composition to become a leader, you must become a leader. Why do we say that? Because, let me use the analogy. Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4. Jesus talked about the principle of the sower and the seed. Remember that passage of that parable? The seed has everything in the seed to become a tree. Are you with me? So everything in the tree is in the seed, but the seed does not look like the tree. This is what we call the law of process. So for you to become a leader, you have to, number one, be in the right environment. Now, you can put a corn, right? You know, let me use an example. I can put some grains of corn in my bathtub, right? Or on my window. It could be there for thousands of years. Do you think it will grow? It won't grow. Why? It's not in the right environment. So the first principle about spiritual leadership is, even though you are born to be a leader, you must become a leader through the law of process. And the law of the environment. You cannot become a leader anywhere. You must be in the right environment in order to become a leader. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. God called Abraham, right, and said, Abraham, let me read it. Because that supports our principle. Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord had said, you know, the Bible says had said. It means God had, before this scene, God had already told Abraham. And the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of their country, and from their kindred, and from their father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. And I will curse them that curse thee. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why is this the principle of environment? God is telling Abraham, you shall become the father of nations, many nations. But in order for me to make you great and bless you and make your name great and make you a blessing, you have to relocate. Get out of your father's house. Because your father's house may not have the conditions or the nutrients or the atmosphere to make you a father. So I have to get you out. So this is not only the law of process, it's also the law of the environment. You are born a leader, but you must become a leader, number one, in the right environment. That is why not every church is even good for your spiritual development. You have to communicate with God to tell you which church you have to belong to. Because for whatever God wants you to do, he needs to do it in a particular location. That is why people could be there for so many years and nothing happens. And somebody makes one move and everything begins to thrive. You see, we have to learn from nature. You know, some produce or some plants don't even grow in some localities, right? This is the law of the environment. So if you are the seed, that means that you cannot thrive or flourish everywhere. You may thrive and flourish only in certain locations and environments. The law of the environment. Hallelujah. So, the first spiritual principle is the fact that God created every human being to as a leader. You were born a leader. We saw this in Genesis. But you must become a leader through a process. So let me put it this way. Within every human being is trapped the spirit of leadership. But this spirit of leadership must be activated with the right conditions for it to be released. So we can understand that. Jeremiah 1 verses 4 verse 5. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. So what God has called you to be precedes your birth and your growth. Now, if you read the account of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's father was a priest. And so he was being expected to become a priest until God intervened and told him, Jeremiah, before you were born, think about it, before you didn't even exist, I had planned for you and ordained you as a prophet to the nations. So you are not going to become a priest, you are going to become a prophet unto the nations. So even though Jeremiah was born to be a prophet, he had to become. And this is where sometimes parents can intervene and point their kids in ways that may not be God's plan for them. I've said this before. I have a friend. His father was a doctor. His two sisters were doctors. So the father really forced him to go to medical school, become a gynecologist. But he used to tell me, Joe, I really didn't want to become a doctor. I wanted to be in business. But he's what? He's almost 60 now, and he's manning his father's clinic. Famous father, doctor. But guess what? He's not happy. And he hasn't been happy. He told me this 20 years, 25, 30 years ago, that I really didn't want to become a doctor. There's nothing wrong with being a doctor, but he knows he didn't like it. Right? All right. So let me go to the third premise of the third principle of spiritual leadership. So every believer possesses or has the potential or the capacity to lead. Because within you as the seed, is all the genetic code for you to become a leader. Right? The fourth principle here is that you become a leader not over people. See, this will be very revolutionary because sometimes we think that when somebody is a leader, then God gives him control over a people. No. You become a leader over the gift that God has placed in you. Because nowhere in the Bible does God tell us that you dominate people or exercise control over people or manage people like resources. People are not things. Where you can just manipulate. No. People are people. So God didn't give us the power to dominate people, control people, manipulate people. No. God says you become a leader over the area of your gifting. Right? Where do I get this? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God that is given us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that is evil. So the Bible says that we have gifts. So nobody can tell me that he doesn't have a gift. Maybe you don't know what you have. See, this is where, again, we fall back onto the principle of the seed. You can never know what you are capable of doing until you are in the right environment. You can never know you could become this huge, mighty oak tree, you know, until you know that you are the acorn. And the acorn must be planted in the right space, in the right environment for all the forces of nature and forces of nutrients to be able to activate the acorn to become a tree. So, where you are, it's not only the physical environment, sometimes also the cultural environment. Go with me to Psalm 1. Psalm number 1. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I will stop right there. God is telling us the company you keep is important for you to become who you are. If you hang out with losers, what do you become? A loser. You know the story I heard about. Let me throw this in. There are only two animals in the Bible that God identifies with when we talk about leadership. The eagle and the lion. Let me repeat. There are only two animals in the entire Bible that God identifies with when it comes to leadership. The eagle and the lion. In Exodus, when God took the children of Israel out, he said, I carried you on eagle's wings. Anybody seen that scripture before? And then Jesus is referred to as what? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Why these two animals? You can have a whole seminar on that. How many of you watch Discovery Channel? You see, God even uses the animals in nature to teach us certain principles. Let me put you. The eagle is the highest flying bird. Scientists think the eagle flies as much as 3 miles in the sky. It is also the fastest flying bird. And from the account about eagles, if an eagle at the height that is flying, if he sees another bird, it knows it is another eagle. Because no other bird flies that high. What does it mean? It means eagles know only other eagles based on their genetic code, their capabilities. So God told the children of Israel, I carried you on eagle's wings. Remember, Pharaoh and his army was chasing them. So Psalm 1, the Bible says, if you hang out with the wise people, you become wise. If you hang out with losers, you become a loser. So the Bible is saying here in Psalm 1, that blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. How can a believer allow an unbeliever to give him advice? Right? He says you are blessed when you do not hear or hang out with unbelievers. Because they have nothing to offer you. You should rather teach them. And you are letting them influence you? No way. He said, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of givers. So the way you walk, the people you walk with. Number two, nor standeth in the way of sinners, the people you hang out with. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, the people you learn from. So most of us, unfortunately, even though we have been born to become leaders, we will die without recognizing what God put in us. Why? Because we are violating God's principles. We are hanging out with ungodly people. People who have nothing to offer. Right? You are learning from people who do not even believe your God. How can you become the man or the woman Jesus envisioned you to be? The company you keep is critical. Let me tell you something about Ivy League schools. The Ivy League schools over the hundreds of years have created high-level standards. And then they will use those standards to process you to become the top of the line. That's their secret. Because Harry Zuckerberg wrote a book and found out that Nobel laureates have also created students who also years later became Nobel laureates. Why? Because the standards of becoming a Nobel laureate, you know, was transferred to the students, and the students in their own right years later also excelled and became Nobel laureates. It's basically the principle about the company that you keep. So their standards are high. It doesn't mean you can't handle it. But let me use another example. Why is it that over the centuries, the East Africans have dominated the Olympic Games gold medal in the long distance and the marathons? East Africans. Kenya, you know, Tanzania, Uganda, you know, and then the others. Why? Because they live, the environment helps them out. They live in a high elevation. And I hear scientifically, in high elevations, you know, your blood pressure and your lung system has to really function at a much higher capacity. So when they come to sea level, it's easier for them. So if you want to beat them, you have to go train with them in the higher elevations. So when the Olympic Games is done and comes to the sea level, it's easier for you. The environment. I know some people who have thrived in, they weren't flourishing in churches, and then they moved to another location, and then they started excelling. The environment. The company that you keep. Oh, I have, my time is up. Give me 5 more minutes. Right? So we've talked about the principle of potential, which means that everything that God wanted you to be has been placed in you. Remember, you are born a leader, but you must become a leader. Even Jesus was born a Messiah, but he became Messiah. through processes. Right? The temptation was one. The crucifixion was one. That enabled him to become what God had promised him to be. And you need to be in the right environment. Because the environment does not only supply you with information and knowledge. Just like the plant, the seed is supplied with nutrients. The rain, the sunshine on the soil. So the seed can become the plant or the tree. And last but not the least, the principle of time. You see, God uses time to transform his people or the seed to become the tree. It doesn't happen overnight. Right? It doesn't happen overnight. Ecclesiastes says, to everything, Ecclesiastes 3, 1, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Think about it. Every purpose under heaven. Whatever God wants you to be. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So God uses time, the seasons, to enable his purposes to unfold so that you and I can plug in into his time and become what he wants us to be. And if you look back on your own life, what you are today is a result of decisions and actions and circumstances and conditions that happened to you yesterday. And so if you want to become something in the future, you also have to use time. Right? And allow the conditions, circumstances, things to happen to you so that you can become the future. God uses time to make things happen. And sometimes they move with precision, accuracy. I mean, look at the trees now. They are blooming. Right? We are what? In May? Just 2 months ago in March or February, there were no leaves. How many of you remember that? Just 2 months ago, you know, we were thinking about the weather, the snow, and all of this. It's changed. And unless something crazy happens, there's not going to be any snow, right, for God knows when, November, December. Then the cycle kicks in again. And then things begin to unfold again. Now, this is not all the principles I'm going to talk about. This is just the introduction. But let me end by saying that, by reading 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you are going to become a leader, we have to identify the spiritual leader. Let me put it that way. We have to identify some of the skills that you need and God has provided us. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that this is a true statement. If a man desired the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, which means money, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. You can read the entire scripture. But Paul lays down qualifications for spiritual leadership. And let me put it in this category. The qualifications are, number one, intellectual skills. Your ability to read and understand God's word. it also includes mental skills. If you are going to be a leader, you must be convicted in your mind that really God wants you to be a leader, and you are convicted and you pursue it. So, because sometimes the enemy can play tricks on you, on your mind. So you need physical skills, you need intellectual skills, you need mental skills, you need emotional skills. In fact, today, psychologists believe that emotional intelligence is one of the critical skills of a leader. Now think about what they did to Jesus, right? They spat on him, they maltreated him, they cursed at him. But here was this guy who had all that power. Remember when he stood before Pilate, he said, "Don't you know that I can command legions of angels and they will make your life miserable?" But he didn't do it. Right? He could speak. Right? So you need emotional skills. Believe me, that is one of the biggest challenges. See, sometimes you see people fighting on Jerry Springer and stuff like that, right? They can't handle the emotion skill. And sometimes, believe me, I'm tempted. Sometimes I want to go to the classroom with a baseball bat. Seriously. Because people make you upset. You know what they did to Moses? Right? Emotional skills regulate your emotions so you do not do things you will later on regret. And that is a skill of leadership. And Jesus exemplified that. You also need interpersonal relational skills. You know, there are some people who have very bad interpersonal skills, even Christians. Everywhere they go, they are troublemakers. You know, he doesn't talk to half of the people in the church. Right? And it traces him wherever he goes. Right? Relational skills are important. The ability to get along with other people. And then behavioral skills. Paul says, not giving to wine. Not greedy, but patient. Patience. You know, sometimes we are not patient. Right? So Paul lays out all these intellectual skills, mental skills, you know, physical skills, emotional skills, behavior skills, all kinds of skills in order for us to become a leader. Right? If we get a chance, this is just an introduction. We can go in depth and see how these skills mean. But the point is that you were born a leader, but you must become a leader. The law of potential. Number two, the law of the environment. You need to be in the right place at the right time. Because as a seed relies on the nutrients and the sun and the water, you also need to be in the right place to get the right information, to get sound doctrine and knowledge for you to become the leader that God wants you to be. And then the law of basically capabilities, right? In other words, you have to exercise your gift. You are a leader over a gift that God has given you. But the gift, like the pearl of great price, must be cleaned and polished before it can become valuable. And that's what we have to learn. So this is just the introduction. My time is up. You know, we can go into details as I get more opportunities to share the word of God. Hallelujah.